Good morning. It is truly great to see each and every one of you here today. It's a blessing to me, and I know it's a blessing to the Lord. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God? Amen. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It is God's house, and we welcome you here this morning. I look around this morning, and I wonder, do we not have better things to do than to be in worship this morning? Let's think for a second. There are chores to be done at home, books to read, movies to watch, sports to look at on television, websites to surf, shopping to do. And I wonder what motivates us to abandon the television for a while and to postpone going to the shopping mall in order to worship. And I suspect that for some of us, the answer is habit. Now, habit is not necessarily a bad thing. There are bad habits, and we tend to think of a good habit as being a discipline. And attending worship is a good spiritual habit, yet some of us are here because it is our habit to attend worship. Now, this is not a complete answer to why we are here, because at some point earlier in our lives, we did not attend out of habit. At some point, for most of us, we decided that attending worship was a discipline we wished to follow. Now, there are others of us, I believe, who are here because we are grieving or hurting. We are lonely, we are lost, and our attendance at worship service is part of our search for answers to our problems. Some are here against their will. Some are here because parents said you would be here. Some are here because of a spouse. You realize that it is better to give in to him or her and attend worship and have life go smoothly the next 2 or 3 days than it is to not attend and have to deal with the consequences. You know, the story is told of a man who was enjoying a pleasant sleep in the bed on a cold Sunday morning, and his wife threw back the covers and announced that it's now time to get up and to get ready to go to church. And the man very meekly told his wife, I don't want to go to church today. Just let me, for this one day, stay here and sleep. And without any compassion, the wife looked him in the eye and said, look, bozo, you've got to go to church. You're the pastor. Now, that's not an autobiographical story, and believe me, it's not. But the question this morning is not only why did you come to church or why did you come to worship today? I think we should expand that and ask, why should we attend worship or church? And the answers are found in our text. It's a great place to find the answers to that question. And our text is Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read Isaiah 6, 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard of the Lord, the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell the people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving." May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of his word. Now back to the question, why should we attend church or attend worship? Well, first of all, true worship is not an escape from reality. Now think about that. True worship occurs in the midst of life. Isaiah begins our scripture passage this morning with an interesting statement. In the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This is like saying, in the year Pearl Harbor was bombed, I worshiped God. In the year President Kennedy was assassinated, I worshiped God. On September 11, 2001, I worshiped God. When Hurricane Katrina hit, I worshiped God. In the year I was born, in the year I was married, in the year my son was born, in the year my friend died, in the midst of life, in the midst of good and bad experiences, I was worshiping God. So worship in God's house can never be oblivious to what is happening in the outside world. We need to worship God in his house in order to cope with life. If we desire the worship inside the church to be true worship, then we must go into the church and bring with us the fears of life, the concerns of our family, the concerns of the world, the worries that we have upon us, and lift them up to God in prayer and seek God's comfort and his guidance. Second, true worship focuses on God. Now, most of us mistakenly assume that worship focuses on us. I have heard people state that they are struggling in their worship life because they are not being fed. They are not being nourished by worship. They are not receiving a blessing from worship. But I have never heard someone say, or question whether or not God is being blessed in the worship service. I have never heard anyone be concerned with whether God is enjoying the worship service. We worship to receive a benefit from the experience, yet we should also primarily worship in order for God to receive a benefit as well. And until God benefits from our worshiping him, we will not benefit. Until God is blessed by our worshiping him, we shall not be blessed. All too often, we treat worship as an event to amuse us. It is not. What is most important is for God to enjoy the worship experience. We are here to worship him. We are here to bless him and to praise him, and true worship always focuses on God. So we should come to church or to worship to focus on God. Third, true worship always begins with an awareness of God's holiness. We have certainly lost sight of this fact in our worship services. There was a time when people were acutely aware of God's holiness. In Europe, the worship houses, the churches, the cathedrals were built to show God's awesomeness and His holiness. They were huge edifices. And they were constructed to inspire awe in the hearts of worshipers. Now, we don't have to have buildings like that in order to remind ourselves of God's awesomeness, but in recent times, theology and worship have emphasized the personal nature of God, the love of God, the joy of God, to such a degree that we have forgotten that our God is an awesome and a holy God. You know, we've almost remolded God into a little buddy of ours, a little pal of ours, that we come into his house on Sunday and, you know, we might have a nod towards him, but we don't recognize, we have forgotten that God is so awesome and holy that to be in his presence should fill us with wonder. When Moses realized that God was in the burning bush, he was astonished and in fear. When Jacob, in his dream, woke up from the dream of the ladder or the staircase to heaven, he was afraid and he was in awe. Time and again, when people are aware of the presence of God, the Bible describes their experiences as one filled with awe and filled with fear. We worship God because He is holy, and His holiness demands our attention. Fourth, true worship helps us understand our shortcomings and even understand ourselves. It motivates us to seek God's forgiveness. In our text, the heavenly beings sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And immediately, Isaiah cries out, "Woe to me." And then he speaks of his own sinfulness. And we cannot enter the presence of God without becoming aware of His holiness and of our ungodliness. And we have to be forgiven of our sins. That's why God sent Jesus, because He was so holy and so pure, we could not stand in His presence being of this world and being sinners. So He sent Jesus to cleanse us, to make us righteous so that we could stand in God's presence. And we must confess our sins to God to receive our forgiveness. And Isaiah becomes aware of the holiness of God, and such a holiness moves him to admit his own sinfulness. And his confession leads to God's forgiving of his sin. And in the text, the holy being symbolically takes a hot coal and touches the lips of Isaiah. And it's a gesture to demonstrate that Isaiah's sins are forgiven, that he has been cleansed. And we need to hear that same message that Isaiah heard when he was cleansed of his sin. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. True worship helps us understand that we are sinners and that God is holy. Fifth, true worship produces a change in our lives. The experience that we should, the change that we experience should be in terms of service to the Lord. Worship at its best always motivates the worshiper to roll up his or her sleeves and begin work. Worship and service go hand in hand. And in this morning's text, Isaiah is in the temple worshiping God, and he hears the call to worship. He hears the seraphs singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And he's moved to confess his sins, which confession is followed by God's forgiveness. And Isaiah hears God say, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" At this point, the service for God, the work, the rolling up the sleeves and the reaching out to others begins. Our text instructs us that Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." If we enter this sanctuary to engage in true worship, or any sanctuary, or any place that we go to worship God, if we are truly worshiping Him, we shall depart to serve the world. Why did we come to church or worship today? We come here in part to be challenged to do something out there in the world, to go beyond these four walls. Therefore, the real question is, what shall we do when we leave the place of worship? What shall our act of service be? Isaiah was sent to deliver a message to the people. What does God want you to do? What is God calling for you to do for Him this coming week? Who in our life needs a little more love from us? Who in our community needs us to reach out more to them and to help them? Who do we know who is not attending church needs to be invited to God's house, Ephesus, so that they can experience true worship? We began this morning by asking the question, why do we come to church? Why do we come to worship? And hopefully we've learned that one of the main reasons is to serve, is to come to church to worship, to discover how God will use us. What will we do after the worship? It's a difficult question to answer. We come here to worship each week, however, to seek the answer. But it's an answer that changes every week, because the opportunities and the challenges for Christians change every single week. And God may give you a different task next week. This week He may say, "I want you to witness to that clerk at the store that you've been talking to but never have told him that you're a child of mine. I want you to witness to that woman at work that you've been there with for 3 years and still have not told her of the love God has for her." What is God calling you to do this week? What God called you to do this week or the next may change, but may your response never change. May it be always like Isaiah's response. "Here am I, send me." If we truly have a true worship experience when we come in, we will realize that we are challenged to serve the Lord. We'll realize that we can help. It will help us understand ourselves and our shortcomings. We will realize that it will help produce changes in our life. And we will realize that we must focus on God in true worship, that it is not an escape from reality, and it always begins with an awareness of God's holiness. If God has been speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit, if He has asked you to do something, it may be to come and become a member of His believers here, and you've been putting that off, I can tell you the best time to do that, that is right now. Not the first Sunday in March, not Easter Sunday, but now. You need to say, here am I. Send me. And we invite you to come forward and confess your sins to the Lord and to say that you accept Him as your Lord and Savior and accept that gift of salvation and eternal life.